You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Gerard Cherry is going to join us now. Hey, Gerard.
Hey, what's going on, Vic? What's shaking, my man?
How you doing?
I am doing all right. I have finally got the distraughtness and all those things that were connected with last week's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals out of my system. And the funny thing is, I got it out of my system by watching the 20-22 or the coaches film on NFL.com this morning. So
okay,
it was good to see it, man.
Give me some reasons why you're feeling a little better about things today. A little better.
Well, one, I'm not as down on Jason Campbell as we all were initially, because when you actually watch the coaches film.
The all-22.
What you do see is that Cincinnati did a phenomenal job of bringing four or five guys and dropping six or seven in zone coverage with truly nowhere to go, coupled with the idea that you have to assume that the game plan going into this game was we're going to be short, we're going to go with short passes and be very conservative. And if you go with that as your calls and you drop six or seven guys in the coverage, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone open, and eventually that pass rush will get there if there's no one there to throw the football to. So I saw that, and then I did also see, too, a sign of encouragement in that when there were one-on-one man-to-man situations, that Josh Gordon in particular was beating his man and made some plays. So that's a little bit of something to be happy about. And even the running game, though it's not great and what we want it to be quite, not even quite yet, there were some promises of some hope in what I saw early on in that game as well. So looking at the game, watching from a TV version Sunday, it's not as bad, even though they lost, when you watch it from the 22 film or 22-man coaches film. It's not as bad.
And you talk about Josh Gordon being able to win one-on-ones, and we're counting on that, at least I am, pretty much on a weekly basis. The guy on pace right now, what he's done in eight games would put him at 16-game totals this season of 1,500 yards and eight touchdowns and 80 catches. So he's performing at a very elite level, over 100 yards receiving in four games already this season. When you look at, you know, the other receivers, as you watch that tape, Devon Best, Greg Little, who combined for 12 targets, who combined in that game to really be a complete non-factor, two catches, 7 yards. What did you see with those two? Why were their performances and their totals so far down?
Because they were running directly into coverage. A lot of times, the passes that they were anticipating were going right into coverage, and you can't make that pass. And if you do, on couple that with Jason Campbell being behind on some of his throws as well, and that was a negative part of the deal with Jason Campbell. But you look at it, I'm telling you guys, it wasn't really man-to-man situations with these guys. It was really a matter of finding that hole or that safety spot or that window in the zone, and they could not find it. The Bengals did an excellent job of taking those things away.
Gerard, when you look at the Steeler team, and we were honing in today on the fact that they're 26th in the league against the rush, and they really look vulnerable in that area. And while I'm not going to try to paint a rosy picture that suddenly says the Browns can find their running game this week, this is as good a chance probably in 11 games for them to do that.
Yeah, if you have gone through 11 games in the National Football League and you're ranked 26th in stopping the run, that says something about you, and it's true at this stage. Now, if it was week 2, 3, or 4, well, we'll question that. But when you start getting around 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and moving on, you are what you are at this point. So, yes, the Browns have an opportunity. The question is, will you stick with the run? Do you trust it enough? Because there were signs early on even in that game where you could have stuck with it before it got out of hand in that second quarter. So that's really what it boils down to. And I'd like to see the Browns establish it, because maybe that will – because if you're Pittsburgh, what you're going to do is you're going to copy the exact same thing you saw Cincinnati do. Why would you not? So the only way you can get rid of that is by committing more to the run, and hopefully with the run established, that'll force these linebackers who are already struggling in the running game to be even more so nosy, and then you can get those intermediate passes that Norv wants to get with Jason Campbell and Greg Little and Devon Best getting in themselves, and Jordan Cameron as well getting involved.
Yeah, Jordan Cameron, a guy who needs to get involved. Earlier in the show, I was talking about in the first seven games of the season with Hoyer and Whedon, he averaged 7.7 targets, 73.6 yards, and had six touchdowns. With Jason Campbell, 5.3 targets, 38 yards a game. What can be done to get Jordan Cameron and Jason Campbell on the same page and producing at the level we saw earlier in the year?
It's really going to be a matter of the running game, Nathan, and that freeing him up. Because if linebackers are not honoring the run, and all his runs are in the middle of the field right where the linebacker's initial drops are at, how is he going to get open? It really boils down to he's going to need help with the running game, and then you also couple that with a safety doubling him up. And at this point, too, you got to think that since he hasn't been that active, he's going to get his chances and opportunities now because he's been quiet for the past 4 or 5 weeks. So the chance is there for him to do something, man. So hopefully he takes advantage of it. But it really is a matter of the run helping everybody out.
He is Gerard Cherry. Stick around to hear him with Bruce Hooley on Hooley and Gerard. That follows this show. Thank you, my friend.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right. And another successful day of Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford, I think.
I feel, though, that there's not enough hype. And I know that last week was a crushing blow, and clearly there's been a hangover effect from it. But this is the Steelers. This is a chance for the Browns to hold home field in their division. And I'm excited about this game. And at the end of this show, we only have two more shows before this game kicks off. So I want big Thursday and Friday shows. I'm excited. Steeler week. Let's go, Browns.
I'm with you on that. That's true. We can amp up the energy, get over the Bengals hangover, and move on. All right, we want to thank Mary Kay Cabot for being on this show. Want to thank, of course, Gerard Cherry for his usual, and Solomon Wilcots. Got to thank him from CBS Sports. Appreciate that. Want to thank TJ Ward and Jameer Howerton. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, and also Megan Rock for tweeting during the show. She's putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that will appear on ClevelandBrowns.com a little later today. That has been a great, great feature. I'm not saying that just because Megan's in here working on it, but Megan and Carly McCord on different days, they collaborate to keep that constant each day. It's really been a nice, nice addition to our website. All right, for Nathan Zagura, my name's Vic. And we want to thank you so much for being with us today, for hanging out with us, haters and lovers, like both of you. Thank you for being around. Just keep listening. That's all we ask you to do. You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
We're show.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.